Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
Programs, Lyrics and Legends, we got a good twist going on this week. We're going to do a special on Route 66. We're going to visit with some people that know a little bit about the history of Route 66. We're going to feature one of the most recorded Route 66 songs right now. I've got in the studio with me, Buck.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a couple of friends in from Amarillo, Texas, Crocodile Bob Lyle, and the world-famous photographer Jim Livingston in the studio with us
Gary.
Today. Is that right, world-famous Jim?
Sometimes they tell me it's not about the photography, though.
Oh, it's not?
And we did bring them in at no expense.
That's right. All the way in from Amarillo, Texas. Bob, you got drug into this kicking and screaming from Amarillo or something like that?
Got drug into this? Yeah, well, got a free lunch out of the deal, so, you know, who's griping, right?
You guys have an interesting project going on, which is why we invited you to come down. You guys are really involved in Route 66 history, and tell us about what this project you guys have.
I've got so many projects going, I can't keep track of them, but Jim
Livingston, something you can talk about.
Jim Livingston, the photographer, drugged me into this deal.
Oh, it's all Jim's fault.
Yeah, it's all Jim's fault. What we're doing is his I Am project from Chicago to Santa Monica. And I guess, Jim, you can tell the people what your I Am project is.
Well, it started out on Route 66, coffee shop in Amarillo. I do a real simple black and white portrait, and I ask you three questions. Gary, you did it. Jim, you did it. Buck did it. Bob did it.
Yep.
The three questions are I Am, I Regret, and Before I Die. What were your answers, Gary?
There are no correct answers. On this one that I did this time, which was the only time I've done it, I put, I am the owner of Route 66 Media. So I left out my Chevrolet deal because I was wanting the Route 66 Media tie-in. Then my regret was that I had a lot of them, but I wasn't going to look back. I was just going to keep going on. And my Before I Die was to meet some famous people that I hadn't met before. So, how about you, Buck? You remember back that far?
How far back are we talking about?
Your I Am, I Regret.
Yeah, I remember it. I think I set the record for taking the longest time to come up with the answers.
There were 14 piles of paper behind Buck when he got done.
So this project, the I Am project, is featuring Route 66 at this point.
That's correct.
So where all of you guys been so far to work on your project?
Well, we started out in Texola, Oklahoma with Mazelle Zimmer. And if you haven't been to Tumbleweed Grill and
Waterhole number two,
you need to get to Texola, Oklahoma. She is a cool lady, and she's a very good artist, and she's got a convenience store and toy store and everything. But we started with her. She was our first. Then we came to Shamrock, and we didn't know about you guys, so we didn't bother you. But we did Buck, and we did the ladies that work at the U-Drop-In.
Hugging Hazel.
God bless her.
She's internationally known.
Yes, she is.
Oh, she's sweet, sweet.
Literally, because the U-Drop-In here gets... I think they've got a book that they register visitors in, and I don't know at what point they were at, but they were in the...
We had over 20,000 visitors last year actually sign the registration book, and to go along with what, Croc, you were telling us earlier, a third of those were from foreign countries.
Oh, at least. I figured more than that, but, you know, because we average 100,000 Europeans a year come over to Travel 66 from Chicago to Santa Monica. So, you know, and that's not counting the Aussies, Kiwis, Japanese, Chinese, Russians, you know, I mean, yeah. So, anyway, Jim and I have been doing this thing, and we came to Shamrock, and we missed some other people, so we're back over here, but we're going from Tucumcari to Albuquerque, and gosh, we've done Vega, Texas, we've done some in Amarillo.
Talk a little bit about the story you told me in Oldham County about that being the last paved section.
Oh, yeah. Oldham County is right next to Amarillo. Vega, what is the other city there? Adrian. Anyway, so it's right next
Boys
to...
Boys Ranch, also, Boys all that's Ranch. In Oldham County, yeah.
So they were, apparently they were the last holdout of being paved on Route 66. And the reason that they struggled, that they really fought being paved, was because the highway was mud when it rained. And the farmers would make a fortune with their teams of horses dragging cars through Oldham County. And so they really fought having that section of Route 66 paved because of the amount of money that the farmers would make. We talked to Wanda Milburn Price, 92 years old, one of the sweetest, most amazing ladies that I've talked to in my entire life. She remembers driving cattle from Vega to Albuquerque on the Ozark Trail. The Ozark Trail is what eventually became Route 66, but when she was a kid, it was just a dirt trail. It wasn't even a dirt road. It was just a dirt trail. So one of the reasons that we're doing this, and one of the reasons that I hooked into Bob is internationally known, and that's not even joking. I mean, you hear us joking a lot, but Bob is internationally known for what he knows about Route 66. He's probably forgotten more than most people know. And he gives tours three times a year.
Twice
a year. See, he's forgotten about that third time. But
it would be three times a year, but he gets that 2-week vacation.
That's so. Right. That's right. But so I knew I needed somebody that knew Route 66 intimately, and Bob's knowledge is just amazing. But those stories, like Wanda, 92 years old, man, if we don't record those stories, they're gone. And so that's one of the things that we're really focused on, is we're not so much focused on the U-drop-in, although the U-drop-in is in our book. We're focused on the people like Kenneth that we just talked to.
Right.
Ken, yeah. Talking about when he was a teenager at the U-drop-in pumping gas. Those are the kinds of stories that we're looking for.
So what was the corporate term for... That was a petroleum insertion technician. Yeah. He was pumping gas.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to listen to, Sleep at the Wheel, Route 66, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Great version. Great version.
With really good.
Jim and Crocodile Lyle. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you ever plan to motor west, take my way, the highway that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles away. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now it goes through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City looks so pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Winona, Kings, Boston, San Bernardino. Once you get hip to this mindless team, when you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your on Route 66.
Get your kicks. Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. We're taking a special trip down Route 66, listen to a little Asleep at the Wheel and Route 66. I think Croc told me that was the most recorded song.
That song has been recorded by more artists than any other song ever written.
Wow.
I mean, hundreds of times.
Do you know who wrote that?
Well, sure. It was Bobby Troup.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He was a captain in the Marine Corps in Europe during World War II. And when he came back, his folks owned a music store in Pennsylvania. And I always thought it was New York, but it wasn't. It was Pennsylvania, close to New York. Anyway, they wanted him to stay in the music business. And he said, no, I'm going to go to California and make my fame and fortune writing and singing music. Well, on his, he was just newly married, and on his way, he and his wife were driving Route 66, and she leaned, they were on their kind of honeymoon, and she leaned over and said, "Get your kicks on Route 66. And so he wrote that song on the way, but he didn't quite finish it. But he got there, he played it for Nat King Cole, and Nat King Cole and the King Cole Trio recorded it in 1947. Of course, it became an instant hit because it was after the war, and people were going to California and going on vacation, and they had cars they could buy, and it was just a neat deal. So timing's everything, as we all know. Bobby Troup later married Julie London. And
beautiful lady.
Oh, gorgeous lady. And I still watch Emergency every chance I get just to see her. And of course, Bobby, well, she was married to who's the guy that did Dragnet?
Jack Webb.
She was married to Jack Webb first, and they got divorced, and Bobby Troup married her. Well, then Jack Webb was the one that did Emergency, and he gave him a job. You know, so ex-husbands-in-law, is that what you call them?
That's it, yeah.
But anyway, he was quite a guy, and I have a recording of him singing Get Your Kicks on Route 66, playing the piano.
I just saw where Depeche Mode did a version of Get Your Kicks on Route 66. So it's, yeah, exactly, Depeche Mode. That's not a band that you would associate with Route 66.
For our 98.9 listeners, they may recognize that. For all my country people, they may have to Google Depeche Mode.
Make sure you spell it right.
You know, I kind of had got married in 78, went through the 80s, so I kind of remember some of that Depeche Mode stuff. But I don't think we have that in the library.
One of the memories, I was raised about a half a block off of Route 66.
Here in Shamrock?
In Shamrock, yes. And we would have out-of-town guests come and spend the night with us. And the next day, they'd say, "My gosh, how do you sleep with all those trucks coming by all night long, you know?" And the first time I moved away from home, I couldn't sleep because it was so quiet.
Wow. That's a little bit opposite of what most rural people tell when they're, it's usually they can't sleep because of the noise after they leave. So, so tell us where this is going with the book. You guys,
oh, the book?
How far into the project are you?
Well, we don't know. We're about knee deep.
But wait a minute. Are you talking about the book or something else?
No, no.
We're on the book right now.
Okay, we're talking about the book.
Well, he said knee deep. So I was
we're planning on doing this from Chicago to Santa Monica and interviewing everybody we can that has anything to do with Route 66. So the problem right now we have is funds, money, whatever. We do have a GoFundMe page.
Back to our Department of Shameless Plugs.
Okay.
If you look up IamRoute66.com, that's our website, IamRoute66.com. It's real complicated.
No, it's IamRT.
Can you repeat that one more time? I'm writing it.
IamRT66.com. IamRoute66.com. Our GoFundMe is on that. And we're not just begging for money, man. We're giving away some cool Route 66 swag. We got some stickers, and we got some really neat photography from some goofball photographer who's supposed to be world famous. So we're giving away limited edition posters, prints, stuff like that.
Let's listen to was it Nat King Cole's version of
Get Your Kicks on Route 66?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well,
1947.
I was 7 years old first time I heard that.
Croc 1947. Was 7 years old in 1947. You do the math. We'll listen to this song and we'll be right back with Lyrics and Legends.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Boston, San Bernardino, won't you?
get hip to this timely tip. When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Tip when you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. We are doing a little trip down Route 66. We got Crocodile Isle, Buck Weatherby, and Jim Livingston all in the studio just listening to a little Nat King Cole, Buck. What do you think?
Oh, man, that brought back some memories, let me tell you.
From 1947. And Jim, how old were you in 1947?
I was a glimmer in my daddy's eye.
All right, because I thought you and Croc were the same age.
Well, I say that all the time because, you know, he's in so much like better shape than I am, actually. I mean, it's the truth. Croc is the youngest 77-year-old teenager that I know.
78. You notice I didn't eat a brownie. I didn't eat ice cream. I just don't do sugar because that stuff ages you.
Yeah, that's the reason why people believe that Croc and I are the same age is because I do the brownie and the sugar and the ice cream.
I've got a year on Croc.
Yeah. One of the things that's really interesting for me, having grown up in America and Texas in the Panhandle, is I didn't know that much about Route 66. I didn't pay any attention to it until Croc and I started traveling. And it's better known outside the United States than it is inside the United States.
That's amazing.
We're teaching them, but takes Americans are always the last ones to get on board.
Yeah.
Timothy, you drop in. There are groups that come over from Europe. I'm thinking of one right now, I think, from Finland that has been here a couple of times, and they have a Route 66 club, kind of a social club thing, where a membership deal where they all celebrate Route 66.
Croc, why do you think that it is that Route 66 is more popular outside of the United States than inside?
Well, the Europeans especially, they like history. And of course, they live in a house that's 200 years old and work in a building that's 300 years old. Well, something gets 50 years old here, we tear it down and build a Walgreens, sure, CVS, but they love history. And America, to them, our history is very recent. But Route 66 is like America was in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and that's what they dig about it. And they'll tell you, oh yeah, we love it because it's nostalgic. It's like America was right after World War II. And people from all over, I mean, they just eat it up. You were talking about the groups. We have 8 states that 66 runs through, and each state has a 501c3 association. Europeans, there are 8 Route 66 associations in Europe. We've got a new one in Brazil, new one in Japan, and they're making one in Australia right now because they just dig it.
That's cool. We'll listen to Rolling Stones on
Mick Jagger,
Legends Radio Network. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Oklahoma city looks so pretty, you'll see. Amarillo, and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Nona, Big Sun, Moscow, St. Bernardino. Would you get hip to this kind of tip? And go take that California trip. To get your kicks on Route 66. So pretty, you'll see. Amarillo, and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Nona, Big Sun, Moscow, St. Bernardino. Would you get him to this kind of trip? And go take that California trip. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, get your kicks.
Well, we're visiting in the studio on Lyrics and Legends with a couple of Amarillo friends. We got Jim Livingston in the studio.
Hello,
and
Gary.
Also Doc Crandall. Kind of doing a little legend of Route 66 on Lyrics and Legends. And had Bob Lowell and you in on the first part of the program, and we talked about some of you guys' project, what you're doing on Route 66, and some of the stops you've made, some of the people you visited with. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you were sharing some stuff with me on the economic impact of Route 66 and how some of the states and communities are finally waking up, realizing just exactly what a gold mine we have here with Route 66.
Sure.
Coming through the Texas Panhandle.
1985, Route 66 was decommissioned, and you saw a lot of towns. If you go just right across the border to Texola had a population of 635 in 1984, and now I think there's 64 people there. So when Route 66 was decommissioned and I-40 bypassed, a lot of these little towns just folded up and disappeared. But what's happening is, like, Tulsa is plugging into the history of Route 66. It's estimated that in Amarillo, let's use Amarillo as an example, we have the famed Cadillac Ranch there, right? You know, the 10 Cadillacs buried nose down on Route 66. That thing draws, the Amarillo Chamber of Commerce did an estimation, it draws about 1.3 million visitors a year. Approximately 100,000 people from across the ocean, foreigners, come to America to travel Route 66. And they take about 3 weeks, and they spend an average of, from what I've read, about $30,000 each. So that's about $3 million that foreigners bring to America to travel Route 66.
Just for Route 66 traffic. I know with the U-Drop in here, Doc, we have a visitor's book there that people sign in, and of course you know how visitor's books work, you know,
right.
I don't know exactly what percentage of people that actually stop there and take photographs or visit the gift shop or whatever actually sign that book, but I think we had over 20,000 people in Shamrock stop at that U-Drop Inn on Route 66 and just sign that book. So you got to think that's just a small percentage of the people that actually stop through there.
And oh, definitely. We have a huge flow of traffic through Amarillo on Route 66 that doesn't stop at Cadillac Ranch, and they opt for other places along historic Route 66, things like that. So yeah, there's a lot more traffic on the route than is measured, I think, in any real stop along the way.
You know, one thing you got to do when you're traveling down Route 66 is you got to listen to a little Route 66 music. So I've got one I want to play here, and it's going to be one with a guy named Jess McIntyre and Loretta Lynn.
This is
called Old Route 66. So we're going to take a listen to this, and we're going to be back in a few minutes to talk about Route 66 with Doc and Jim.
Well, tell me about it, Loretta. You went down Route 66. How was it back then?
Well, it's been so long, Jess, I can't hardly remember.
Well, get in this limousine and let's go again. Come on.
Limousine?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we blew through Chicago when the moon was shining bright. Headed west on a road of solid gold, we drove on through the night. Well, we're not city slickers, just hillbillies from the sticks. But we sing our songs, riding the long old Route 66. We love this old highway, she's the mother of them all. When that engine starts in this old car, I swear I hear her call. Broke down in Amarillo, but as soon as we get fixed, a tank of gas and we'll get right back on old Route 66. Well, it got us up and running, we're California bound. They say the sun shines all the time, I'm putting that hammer down. Gonna buy me a brand new limousine, one I don't have to fix. And we'll sing our songs, riding along on old Route 66. We love this old highway, she's the mother of them all. When that engine starts in this old car, I swear I hear her call. We broke down in Amarillo, but as soon as we got fixed, a tank of gas and we got right back on old Route 66. This old highway, she's the mother of them all. When I crank that brand new engine up, I know I'll hear her call. Cause I bought that brand new limousine, gonna take us another trip. We'll sing our songs, riding along on old Route 66. Yeah, we'll sing our songs, riding along on old Route 66. Wake up, Loretta, we finally made it to California.
Really?
Yep. I bought that brand new limousine.
Did you really?
Yeah,
all limo. Right.
Let's head back to Chi-Town. Come on, let's go.
All right.
We'll stop in Barstow and eat some good old pork chops and eggs with my cousin Joe.
Why not?
I really like singing this song you wrote. What's it called?
Oh, Route 66. I'm sorry. Ah, shoot. Okay.
Well, the song we just listened to was one called Old Route 66 with Jess McIntyre and Loretta Lynn. And I just actually heard that on the station the other day, and I was like, pretty cool. I got to get this, because I knew we had this project we were working on about doing the legend. So you get that legends and lyrics and legends on Route 66.
So you have a radio station here? Is that what I understand?
We do on a couple of places, but anyway.
What's the name of your media?
The Route 66 Media is our parent company, and stations here in Amarillo and in Shamrock. And so we cover from east of Elk City, Oklahoma, all the way to Amarillo, with maybe just a little gap in there. But
so you have pretty much the heart of Route 66.
We do. It's a lot of fun. And it's been, when we first established the radio station, we got the license for the station, and Jim and I were like, okay, we got to have a company. What are we going to do? And we were just trying to come up with all these different angles on, because our flagship station was classic country music. And so we were, you know, looked at all the different angles on what we wanted to do on name of the company and everything. And finally, I'm just like, God, we're like four blocks off Route 66. And what are the odds that nobody has claimed Route 66 Media? And Jim looks it up and he says, you're not going to believe this. Nobody's got that. And I said, maybe we should do that. So Jim jumped online and claimed that with the state. And so we're Route 66 Media.
How cool is that?
Which has been a lot of fun to be a part of. So, but you guys, Doc, you and Doc Croc and Jim.
Right.
We've all been working on this project together and all kind of focused on Route 66 and what's going on there. I know we talked in the first segment about your IM project and kind of what's taking place there. What else do you guys have coming up in the future as far as visiting different regions of Route 66?
Well, April 14th, Bob and I fly out of Amarillo to Dallas, Texas to pick up an old Mercury. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like a 49 Mercury. And we're going to drive that from Dallas, Texas to Chicago. We're going to drop it off. Of course, you know, we're going to hit Route 66 and drive it down as much Route 66 as we can. So we're going to get some really cool pictures of this old car and iconic Route 66 places. And then we're going to come back on Route 66 and document as much as we can and interview as many people as we can on Route 66.
And Bob does two or three tours a year with foreign...
He used to. Bob's slowing down a little bit. He's going to only do one tour this year, and he's only doing half of the tour. And part of that, interestingly enough, is because, you know, money exchange, Bob works primarily with people from New Zealand and Australia, and right now their dollar over there is, their money is worth 60 cents on a dollar. And so we're not having as many tourists come over as we used to.
See, that's something I wouldn't...
They spend a lot of money to come to a Route 66.
The thing that I read by the Historic Trust Foundation was that the average foreign tourist who comes to America to travel Route 66 spends anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 in their trip.
Wow. Do you know the year that Route 66 was officially designated as a U.S. highway?
1926.
I know... we had a pretty good story from Buck Weatherby, which we're going to probably get included in here about, I think, in 27, about some stuff that took place over at Allen Reed over here, which we'll save that. But I think that was in 27, so I was thinking, man, that couldn't have been long after. And then the Dust Bowl era was in the 30s, and that caused...
mass exodus from Oklahoma and Texas. And that's really, you know, when you read the stories, I mean, Route 66 was... bumper-to-bumper traffic, people going west, going to California.
And you think that's what really started the legend or the lore about Route 66 then, or was it something later on?
No, I think a lot of what happened with what caused Route 66, as I've read, and I've been reading a lot for the book, and I'm not the expert that Bob is, but really when Route 66 took off was when World War II was over, and you had all these veterans coming home, and they had money in their pocket, and they began to travel. Up until that time, the automobile wasn't, you know, in 1926, you were still dealing with automobiles that, you know, have a flat tire every 30 and 40 miles. You know?
Right.
So, but by the end of World War II, when you had some disposable economy and you had some people that were actually doing vacations and things like that, when the economy was such that people could actually travel for light leisure, that's when I think that you actually see the Route 66 legends and the myths and the going west on vacation and that kind of thing.
I think, too, that you have a certain number of people out there that are like me in that I grew up traveling Route 66 as a kid. But I didn't know I was traveling Route 66. My family's in Arizona in the Flagstaff area. So we were always in the Painted Desert, Petrified Forest area, things like that. And we were just on the road. I had no idea we were traveling Route 66. So... for me, it's kind of interesting that it wasn't a phenomenon for me.
And I'm real similar, I think, because I had grandparents in Oklahoma City when I was a kid before Interstate 40 was shooting through here. And I can remember going to Oklahoma City to see my grandparents and taking Route 66 and seeing construction as I-40 was starting to come into play and thinking, what are they building that big thing for? And the old Route 66 actually had curbs on each side of the road. And I remember my brother saying, yeah, you had to really watch what you were doing when you were driving, because if you kind of drifted too far to the right, you'd hit the curb and it'd shoot you back into the middle of the lane.
One of the nicknames for Route 66 was Bloody 66 because of the number of head-on collisions.
I can see that happening. And then when I was very young, we took off. My parents saved money to go to Disneyland, which would have been in the 60s at some point, and probably
you're old.
60. Yeah, I don't want to give my age away, but I think back about that too, and I think, you know, we had to go right down Route 66, headed to California in the station wagon with the old station wagon where the rear seat faced the back, and we threw all the clothes out the back window as my mom and dad were driving down there.
We used to travel in a Nash Rambler.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the old so you could lay all the seats down.
Yeah, you laid all down. The whole car became a bed.
That's amazing. You know, I'm kind of like you. I was born in St. Louis, and we moved to Wichita Falls, Texas, when I was about 8. And so going back and forth to Grandma, you know, we'd shoot from Wichita Falls up to Oklahoma City and then St. Louis. We did that. I couldn't tell you how many times when I was growing up. And it really didn't, the nostalgia of being on Route 66, I mean the two-lane road, that didn't hit until much later.
Right. We need to take a break and listen to a little more Route 66. So we're going to listen to the Rolling Stones do Route 66. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Programs, lyrics, and legends. We're having fun. We're just kind of doing a little legend of Route 66. We met these guys a few weeks back, Crocodile Lyle, Jim Livingston, and Doc Crandall. And
love it when they get that.
That's
right.
A lot of names to get in there. And
Croc, Doc, and Jim, and they keep trying to.
Croc, Doc, and Jim.
Yeah, so we can't come up with a nickname.
So what's your middle initial?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, got nothing. I got nothing. Anyway, we've just been having fun kind of talking about a little bit of history of Route 66, you guys' project you're doing, and some of the cool stories that have taken place. Tell us a little bit about stopping in Santa Rosa, New Mexico. And
There's two places in Santa Rosa. There's a lot of things to see in Santa Rosa. The Blue Hole, they have the Route 66 Car Museum, and Mexican restaurant, the Comet 2, owned by Mr. Martinez. We ate there. The food was absolutely phenomenal. It's been open since 1954. Mr. Martinez is a Korean War veteran. Comes home from Korea, shot up. Actually, former Army Ranger, and he opens his Mexican restaurant. So, you know, this just wonderful 86-year-old man. He just is this natural storyteller. We're sitting there eating this marvelous food, and he just starts bubbling out stories. So I asked him, I said, well, what had changed most on Route 66? And he said, Mexican food. And I wasn't expecting that. And he started talking about, you know, when he was a kid, you'd take up some beef and you chop it up and throw a couple of jalapenos in there and put it in a tortilla, and that was a taco. He's like, now I got to have all this green salsa, chili verde, and all this stuff that you gringos have invented to make it all fancy and stuff like that. He goes, well, I don't eat like that stuff. His grandfather was a New Mexico Ranger before New Mexico was actually became a state. So his bolo tie, his big bolo tie, was a New Mexico Ranger's badge from 1911.
Oh, wow.
His grandfather's, right? Just an amazing, wonderful man. Just, you know, but he's been on Route 66 since 1954. You know, this Mexican restaurant's been open, and it's just some of the best food to imagine.
I think something we talked about earlier in the program that we'll go back to just for a little bit is part of the good thing about you guys doing this project is a lot of these stories like you get with Mr. Martinez, that stuff's going to be gone, and yeah, nobody's going to know anything about that.
We've lost a couple of the people that really have made Route 66 what it is just recently, and there's going to be more of that happening.
Yeah.
We're hoping to get their stories before that happens, obviously, but as many as we can. Now, when I say we, Jim and Croc are really the ones that are on the road most of the time. I'm the technical guy. I keep things in the background. Once in a while, I get to go out and do some behind-the-scenes stuff and show Jim's bald spot, things like that.
Which he didn't admit to having.
He had no idea.
But now we have photographic evidence.
Me, he's aware now.
Very aware.
And he's not.
I'm aware, too.
Very grateful, but... It's important that we get these stories out there, I think, and that's basically the aim of the project, is to give people an idea of more than just the route itself, but the people that made it what it is, and how important those people have been to the route itself and the United States and America as it grew up, because the history of Route 66 is a reflection of the history of the United States in a lot of ways.
Economically, tourism,
even in the cases of segregation, things like that. The Green Book is a really good example. Route 66 has the same history as the U.S. overall in those respects. So we think that it's important that people know what we're going to lose if we lose Route 66.
Yeah, and I think states are starting to wake up and realize
there's two pieces of legislation right now before Congress. One is to turn Route 66 into a National Historic Trail, and one is to make it into a National Historic Highway. And one of the cool things about both pieces of legislation, and I may be completely wrong about this, but everything that I've read is that it is one of the few pieces of legislation that has 100% bipartisan support.
Yes.
So there's no.
You got Democrats and Republicans
reaching too. Across the aisle agreeing on something. What's happening in America?
Man, that's pretty rare. Yeah.
But that's how important Route 66 is.
That's great. Do you know what if I told you Manhattan Transfer had a version of Route 66, you'd fall out of that chair, wouldn't you? But don't do it because I don't have any insurance.
I love Manhattan Transfer, but no idea.
Yeah, it's a really good version, too. I think it's going to really surprise you when you listen to it that you're going to realize that this is Manhattan Transfer. We're going to listen to this right now because we are doing Route 66 from Chicago
to L.A.
More than 4 million miles along the way. Well, I guess we'll listen to it in the song, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Doc, Croc, and Jim.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Baby, you get your kicks on Route 66.
Now you go through St. Louis,
Joplin, Missouri,
and Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty.
You'll see Amarillo,
Gallup, New Mexico,
Flagstaff, Arizona,
don't forget Winona,
Kingman,
Barstow,
San Bernardino. Won't you get hit to this timely tip when you make that California trip? Get your kicks on Route 66. Mighty pretty.
Alabama, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino, won't you get hip to this time, let's hip. When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. We've been taking a little legendary roll down Route 66 with Doc and Croc and Jim. Jim Livingston's a photographer from Amarillo. Croc is, how would you describe?
Croc is a Route 66 historian and artist extraordinaire. Croc has got a really cool project right now where he takes paint chips off of Cadillac Ranch,
yeah,
and turns them into jewelry, and they're just gorgeous.
Yeah,
and earrings and rings and things like that.
We do this segment we call the Department of Shameless Plugs, where we allow people who are gracious enough to come in and sit with us and share some of their time promoting their own enterprises.
Well, that's not mine, so it's not shameless promotion.
So we'll do that on behalf of Croc and promote Lyle Art Gallery it's in the San Jacinto District on 6th. There's so many local people that probably don't get into that part of Amarillo, but it has kind of seen a revival take place through there, and there's restaurants, and there's bars, there's
art galleries.
I love going in Croc's shop and so many others up there. And Croc's store is really neat. That whole area is good. If you're going down 66 and you want to get off the beaten path and not go to the chain deals and get over on the mom and pop side of town, that's a good place to go. You also have art studio.
I'm at Sonia's, which is on 6th Street. Sonia's is a great little boutique, and she has most of my art. So that is a shameless plug. But biggest thing I have is online. So jimlivingstonart.com.
All right. And Doc has...
Doc is a writer, editor, photographer, programmer, and web developer.
He's the guy that makes us look intelligent and keeps us out of jail. We make sure he has bail money.
Now, Doc, do you have a web page where people can go?
I don't have time to build
you don't
a web
do
page.
Your own.
I'm too busy working on everyone else's. I do... have a little site on Fine Art America for my photography. We're working on some other things there, and that's about where I am right now. But both of the websites are maintained by me. Both of our I am websites.
There you go. There's a shameless plug.
Tell them about iamroute66.com, and the mother site is iamthejourneys.com.
Why do we have two sites?
Yeah, why do you have two sites?
Because we have a much larger project than I Am Route 66. And it originally started as I Am the Journeys. That was what Jim and I first discussed when I met him. And we eventually decided that Route 66 was a place to start the project. But the I Am project is much larger. It's going to be much larger. We hope to take it on to Highway 101. We hope to take it to the Pan Am Highway. We hope to take it state by state and eventually cover the I Am America. But you get a real introspective look at yourself to begin with. And then when you go and look at the I Ams that other people have put out there and you realize how similar we are, how different we are, actually the project becomes a real good look at the human condition overall, in the way that we think alike, the way that we think differently. And in that, people from completely different walks of life have the same regrets, the same goals, and they look at themselves in the same way. It's a little bit deeper than it sounds, but it's a very simple concept.
Right. Well, everybody got a surf on over to the I Am project and check that out, because just to look at some of the pictures, you guys last time you were here even did a I Am of a horse. So
yeah, we sure did.
That was a lot.
You know, it's really interesting. Some people really think deep about their answers. I am, I regret, and before I die. And other people, they just, they have fun with it.
You know? Blam, yeah.
Buck Weatherby, I like bringing up Buck because I think he's a hoot. You know, his answer, I am too old to do anything I don't have fun doing anymore.
Yeah. I think that most of the time, the best answers are the ones that just aren't thought about. People just sit down and write them. And those are the ones that really become interesting. Too much thought, I don't know. I think it just... It takes
usually
away
the,
from that.
Usually the thing that pops in your head to first is right. The most honest.
We're good.
One of the things that I have found absolutely fascinating is we're coming up to about 900 portraits at this point. So we've actually photographed and gotten the answers from 900 people on those answers. The most common regret, what do you think is?
All right, we're going to go throw this to Doc here.
The most common answer is nothing.
Really?
So after about 20, I regret nothing. Man, I could write a book about my regrets. I mean, you know, it's like, holy heck, I don't have enough time or paper. Yeah. So I asked the lady, and this lady, I'm not going to share much about her. She's 4'9", and she teaches concealed weapon classes, and she's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Her husband comes back from Iraq really messed up, and beforehand he was a great guy, but you know, he came back really shot up, and it was an abusive marriage, and she couldn't get away from it. So she actually kind of like, she ended up changing her name, and she ended up moving clear across the country, and he put her in the hospital a few times. And so a very mousy lady, and she ends up becoming a lion. I mean, she literally is now a black belt in jiu-jitsu. She teaches female self-defense classes. And, you know, now she's about women taking care of themselves. And so she was basically telling me she regrets the pain that happened. And she doesn't even blame him because, you know, he came back from the war really messed up. I mean, he was shot up and, you know, it was PTSD kinds of. I mean, when he would hurt her, he was not here in America. He was back in America.
Right.
And she understood that. So she doesn't regret the marriage. She doesn't regret that. She regrets the pain. She regrets some of the decisions that she made. But what ended up happening was that made her into such an amazing person. And so half of the people that say, I regret nothing, they look at it like, I wouldn't be who I am today if I hadn't done those boneheaded mistakes and learned from them.
Right, yeah.
Now, the other half, when you get real honest, is I regret not a dang thing that I'm going to put out there in public.
Exactly.
And exactly so right. That's probably more the true answers of I regret. But it's really interesting that that's the number one answer is I regret nothing. We're coming up to 900 portraits, right? About four of the people who we've done the portraits of have passed away. One person was in their 80s. Completely healthy, slipped and hit the back of his head. Even though he was an elderly person, he died of an accident. Another person in his 40s was killed in a car accident. And another young lady who was 19 when she did her portrait had passed away by the time she was 21. So I'll use the guy who was in his 40s. He was actually a classmate of mine at Amarillo College. He was a colonel from the Army. He was a chaplain, comes back, and he doesn't know what he's going to do with his life, but he likes art. He likes photography. And so his before I die is before I die, I would be published and explore my artistic side. And he did that. He'd actually gotten published. He'd actually, you know, really was focusing on becoming a fine art photographer when he was killed in a car accident. Completely not his fault. One of the things that I think is really sad is a lot of people who answer that question before I die, they don't put a whole lot of thought into it because, you know, we're going to live forever. You know, tomorrow,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to be able to make my dream list tomorrow, you know. I'll be able to travel Route 66 when I retire. The thing is really and truly, that's probably the most important question out of the group.
Right.
Because you're not promised tomorrow. And already the people who have done this project are passing on.
That's,
and yeah. So that's who we are actually dedicating the book to.
That number is surprising to me. Out of all those, there's been that many. We got to wrap this up. Sorry. I know. We hate to go. We could keep going, but we saved.
Jim can go all day.
Yeah, we saved the best to wrap this up. We're going to do a little Route 66 with Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to thank you guys for coming in, and I appreciate you taking time to do this. I know this project's near and dear to your heart, and you guys have a lot of enjoyment out of it, but there's also a lot of blood, sweat, and tears trying to get it all put together, so thanks, Croc, wherever you are. Thanks, Doc, for coming down to the studio. Well. Thanks, Jim, for coming in. We're going to listen to Chuck Berry, and we'll see you somewhere down Route 66.
Thanks for having us.
if you ever plan to motor west, Jack, take my way, it's the highway that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it goes from St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City, looks ooh, so pretty, you'll see. Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingsman, Warsaw, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this kindly tip, Jack, and take that California trip. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Thank you guys for coming in and spending a few minutes with us driving
all
the way down.
It's been fantastic.
From Amarillo, you're going to be back down doing a few projects to add to the book in the future. And
we'll
keep in communication and get the word out so everybody can know when you guys are going to be around. Thanks for coming in. Thanks, Croc.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks,
Gary.
See you guys.
Thanks, Buck.
Thanks, Jim.
Oh, yeah. We got our kicks doing this show.
You bet we did.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time, here on Legends 92.9.